All right, take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 39. This is where we'll be beginning in a few minutes. And as you're turning there, let me mention something that I was supposed to talk to Don about earlier, about mentioning during the announcements, but I didn't. So I apologize for that. But I wanted to make sure everyone knows that starting in January, we have kind of a short 6-week class time frame during January and February. So we're doing a couple kind of short classes during that time. And one of those is going to be one that is especially on my heart, and that is it's a parenting class, and it's about raising kingdom kids. And so if you are a parent and you've got kids that you're raising and you're trying to figure out, how do I raise them in the Lord? How do I raise them to be kingdom kids? I would encourage you to come to that class. It's on Sunday mornings, 9:30 to 10:30, and we'll be utilizing a DVD series. It's really, really a pretty good series, and following a book that I think you'll find very valuable. So that's starting the first Sunday in January, and it's called Raising Kingdom Kids. We'll also have another class at that time, an adult class, but that's the one I wanted to mention specifically for those of you that are parents. So please come on out to that. Okay. Well, good morning, everybody. Again, it's good to see you here today. And it's a special day, of course. It's Christmas Eve. Tomorrow is the big day, the biggest holiday in the calendar of the Western world. And it's an exciting time. I see a lot of family here. People are in from out of town visiting to celebrate the holiday together. And so, welcome. It is a great day. And I appreciate the songs that you guys led this morning, those great carols that are rich in theology and teach us about what it means that Christ did come into the world. This morning, I want us to think about this idea, the good news of great joy. Because if there's anything that Christmas time is supposed to be, it is a season of joy, right? I mean, it's kind of really bad behavior altogether to be kind of grumpy and Grinch-like at Christmas time. Even the world knows that, right? You're supposed to be happy. And so that's the classic greeting, right? It's Merry Christmas, which is a time to be happy and joyful. We sing songs like Joy to the World and Joy, 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 and Joy, Joyful We Adore Thee. It's a time to be happy and to reflect on the things that are good in life. And of course, for those of us that are drenched in the biblical story and want to embrace the biblical side of the Christmas holiday, we know that the most important thing that we have to be joyful about is the fact that God has come to be with us, that He has sent His very Son into the world to redeem us. And that is what brings us this great joy. And the passage that our brother Dan read a few minutes ago from Luke chapter 2, there really is that classic statement that I want to just reread again in verses 8 through 11 that capture the point of today's message. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." I remember when I was a kid watching the Charlie Brown Christmas. You might remember that, the Charlie Brown Christmas, the classic, right? And I remember that, you know, in kind of the climax of the show, I guess is what it was, just an episode, there is that moment where I think it's Linus recites this passage out of the Bible to kind of remind everybody there what this is supposed to be all about. And I remember thinking, wow, our scriptures right there on TV, national television, and it really was pointing toward the real meaning of all of this thing that we celebrate at Christmas. Christmas is, above all, a time to be joyful. No one wants to be Scrooge or a Grinch during this time, angry, grumpy, negative, cheap. That's to fail to grasp the reason for the season. So this morning, I want us to look at two stories in chapter 1 of Luke that refer to joy and maybe teach us something about how we can be joyful at this time of year, but also throughout our Christian lives. And that is two stories in chapter 1, starting with verse 39 down through 56. So that'll be our emphasis this morning, helping us think about what does it look like to be joyful people in Christ. So let's pray as we begin. Our Father in heaven, please help us understand better your word this morning. Help us understand it and be able to apply it to our lives. May it go forth from the pages of Scripture that are ancient and from you into our hearts and connect with us and teach us in the corners of our hearts how we need to be obedient and how we need to be responding to your word this morning. It's in Christ that I pray. Amen. Everybody knows that Christmas is about the birth of a baby, right? But here's the thing, in the early parts of the book of Luke, it's not just one miraculous birth that takes place, it's actually two. And the first one that's described is regarding John the Baptist. And we see in the first, right out of the gate, in chapter 1 of Luke, verse 5, the birth of John the Baptist is foretold by the angel and to Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. And so there is this whole thing about this older couple that they're not supposed to be able to have children. They haven't had children and they've been barren, and all of a sudden God is going to work a miracle in their life and John the Baptist is going to be born of them. And so there is this story as well, that there is a great reference to joy in that story. And I want to pick up and kind of toward the tail end of that story and read about when Mary comes to visit her relative Elizabeth. And here's what it says in chapter 1, verse 39. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." So Mary comes to visit her relative Elizabeth, told to go and see her. And there's this episode where Mary comes into the room. And it's kind of an amazing little story here, right? That sometimes we kind of pass over. But there is this sense in which, wrong passage, there we go, where Elizabeth, who's about 6 months along in her pregnancy, and Mary comes in the door, and immediately John the Baptist in the womb does some kind of a flip. That's kind of what I imagine that. That's my translation of that. He leaps, and then later on she refers to he's leaping for joy at the sound of Mary's voice, because she is going to be the mother of Jesus. And Jesus, that very Son of God, is already in her womb. And John, in the womb himself, recognizes this and leaps for joy. And this is an amazing story. We all remember those times, if you're a parent, when the baby starts to kick. And you mothers, you remember that way more than the husband does, right? Because that kicking and that wrestling around that goes in there, it's noticeable, wakes you up at night and that kind of thing. But it's an amazing kind of activity. And I'm just imagining that's what Elizabeth was experiencing when Mary walks in the door and this prophetic baby does some kind of a leaping, and she sees it and understands it to be that he's leaping for joy in the presence of this mother of the Son of God, and that Son of God is within her womb. And so, just some reflections on this morning. When you are in the presence of the Christ, there will be joy. Okay? When you are in the presence of Jesus Christ and you understand who He really is, there will be a sense in which joy will rise up in you. That's what He does. That's what His presence brings. It will bring this understanding of God's great work, what He is doing in the world. That's why when the angel says, I bring you good news of great joy, it's for all the people. And when all the people begin to understand who this child is, it produces joy, true joy, happiness, a realization that the struggles, the trials, the difficulties that we all experience in this life because of sin can be overcome and will be overcome in this one who is in Mary's womb. And you know, I also think about the fact that children know how to express joy. Have you ever seen a kid that's happy? Yeah, they don't have to tell you that they're happy, do they? You can see it all over their face and usually all over their body. I remember about 2 weeks ago, we went to this Christmas concert and there was kind of a Santa Claus character I was watching. It was coming across the stage, a guy dressed up like Santa Claus. And they had brought all the children up on the stage who wanted to sing, or any alumni who wanted to come up and sing. And there was a little kid up there. And I was watching that little kid as the Santa Claus started coming closer. And the closer he got, the more she started jumping up and down. And he walked right past her, but she kind of jumped like this, you know, kind of watching him go by. You know, they don't have to tell you they're happy. They show they're happy. It kind of oozes out of everything about a child. And it's a good example. And maybe John the prophet can even teach us in the womb of this is how you respond to Jesus. With joy. And our faith is to be one that's expressed with joy and happiness of what God has done for us. And we adults, we are not open about our joy. There's something about as you grow older, the expression of your joy kind of declines. It's like with age, you learn the rules. Okay, you don't show that you're happy. You want to try to hide that, right? Now, there's some of us, and I could name some names if I wanted to, but I won't, that are even just like kids, and they show their happiness. And don't you like to be around them? Yeah. Don't you like to be around them? Okay. I love to see my wife open up a present that she really likes. Because she can't hide that she's happy about it, right? She's in the nursery, so I can say that now. But she shows she's happy. And you like to be around people like that. Don't you think it would be great if we as Christians kind of got our joy on a little bit more? And embraced the fact of what this birth of Christ is all about, and we didn't have to tell people that we were happy about Jesus. It just showed. It showed through everything that we did, the way that we carry ourselves, the way that we talk, the way that we kind of interact with things that are happening in our life. We just kind of leap for joy, and everything about us shows that we are happy. Now, I obviously understand some people are more expressive than others, and there's personality types and all that kind of thing. But sometimes that can be an excuse for us not being joyful people. The Bible is filled with references to joy in the Old Testament, the New Testament. Paul says, rejoice always. And again, I will say, rejoice. Let it be known to everyone that you're happy about who God has made you to be. And if you're not happy about that, then think again about the message of the gospel. Think about again about the good news. It will produce joy. The second story that is in this section that I think is powerful is in Mary's song. And I was working with the teens this past quarter, and every night we tried to practice this song called Mary's Song that kind of went through the message of Mary's song. But this is one of the three songs that show up at the beginning of the Gospels that are all about the coming of the Christ. There's three of them in the book of Luke, right? You have one by Mary in chapter 1, verses 39, or excuse me, 46 and following. And then you have Zechariah in chapter 1, verse 67 and following. And then over in chapter 2, verse 28, you have Simeon who sings a song as well. And so the first part of Luke is about songs, kind of rejoicing in all the stuff that God is doing when He brings His Son into the world. And so no wonder that Christmas time is filled with wonderful songs that people love to sing that remind them about what is happening with this gospel message. And Mary sings this song. Evidently, she stays there with Elizabeth for several months. And then perhaps during this time, she writes this song and she sings this thing to the Lord, and it is written down for us in the book of Luke. So let's read it. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has looked on the humble estate of His servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in their thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy. And He has spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And then verse 56, "And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home." This song, often referred to as the Magnificat, because that's the first word comes out in Latin, that's why it's called the Magnificat, starts off by saying, "My soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God." Then she goes on to state the reasons for her joy. Why is it that she has this joyful praise? Why does she praise Him? And essentially it's this, that He's remembered me, His servant. Who am I? Mary, this girl that's, you know, who am I to be chosen for this great task? Who am I to have this benefit put on me? He has lifted up the humble. Those who are lowly have been raised up. Those that are weak have been made strong. Those that are poor have been given great riches. This is a marvelous thing, and God is being faithful to His promises, the promise that He made all the way back to our fathers, even back to Abraham. And all people are going to call me blessed because of what's happening in my life right now. Essentially, she praises God because He has again turned things upside down. The people that thought they had everything end up not having everything. The people that are low are lifted up. The people that are poor are made rich. And here this humble servant is going to be called blessed for all generations. One of the great songs of the Bible, a song of praise at a most amazing time. And there's some powerful messages that come out of this psalm that I would point us to this morning. The scholars often make the point that the language that she uses here is that this is something that's happened in the past tense. It's happened, but yet it hasn't actually happened yet when she sings the song. And so it's joy that she's having about something that hasn't come to pass yet, but she believes it will come to pass. And she speaks about it confidently. Her joy was expressed over things yet to take place. It's an anticipation of God's great works. She had been told they were coming, and she believed it to be true, and she rejoiced over it. It's like someone saying thank you in advance for something that is coming. Her joy itself was an act of faith. And brothers and sisters, when we express joy, when we live out joyful Christian lives, it will often be in the face of things that we haven't experienced yet. We're thankful for stuff that God is going to do that we haven't seen it quite yet. We've received our salvation yet? No. It's coming. Is everything perfect in our lives right now? No. Does that mean you can't express joy? No. Yes, you can have joy right now, even in the midst of those things that aren't perfect, because we believe God is making all things perfect. We can rejoice in anticipation of that salvation and anticipation of God's deliverance from our current situation. So in this sense, expressing joy is an act of faith and trust. So sometimes when we have joy and when we show it, it is really conveying to others and to God that I believe He's going to be faithful to what He has promised to us. I think that's what Mary is expressing here. But also, it's joy in all situations. You know that Mary's joy was expressed in spite of all her plans being changed? I mean, this is a major disruption of her life. at least what she thought her life was going to be. And you know, we haven't gone back through the first, when she was called and when the angel came and told her about all of this, but you know, she kind of didn't know how this was all going to happen, and she asked for some clarification. How is this going to take place? But you think about her situation, brothers and sisters. An unwed mother, that's the way other people are going to see it. They're going to see her as someone who has not been morally chaste. That's how many people will look at her. Perhaps at the time, she's maybe wondering, what are people going to think of me? They're not going to believe. They're going to say, oh yeah, an angel, yeah, whatever. I mean, there's going to be a lot of questions, and she may experience some difficulties, but she's still rejoicing in this. We find out later from the book of Matthew that the birth of Christ, they will have to get out of there and go to Egypt and make this major escape, because her son is going to be, his life is going to be threatened by the most powerful man in the area. All these things are coming up, but the joy is there in spite of those circumstances. And that's what Christian joy is all about. It is not the same as happiness, because everything is going right for me right now. Joy is much deeper than that. Joy is this sense of faith and confidence that God will make things right. That God is the source of our strength and help, and we can even be joyful in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of trying times. You know, James chapter 1 is that passage that really says it all. James says in chapter 1, verse 2, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Count it all joy. When you meet trials of various kinds, you mean when things are going bad in my life, Darren, I should be joyful? Yes. It says trials of various kinds, of all kinds, because you know that that trial can produce steadfastness, faithfulness. It can produce good things in your life, but you have to embrace that by faith, and then you can have true joy. Our daily world, brothers and sisters, is filled with tragedies and sad situations. You know, on the national level, for example, on the regional level, just this past week, this train derailment. So many people were sent to the hospital right before Christmas, and 3 people lost their life. And how many other lives are going to be touched by that? I mean, it could have been a whole lot worse, but I mean, here we have a major problem right in our midst. Some of us have things going on in our own lives, diagnoses that come out this week, and people that we know and love that are in the hospital. How can we have joy in the midst of these things? Well, we can have joy in the midst of these things, knowing that those things that test us, they test us to whether or not we will pray through those things or allow them to push us down. They lead us to rely more on God and less upon ourselves. They point us toward our heavenly existence rather than our earthly existence. They point us to think and reflect more about how God is faithful in spite of those things, and that we are playing the long game, not just for the short things right in front of us. Those are ways in which we can have joy through those difficult times. We rejoice not because all is well now, but in anticipation of a time when all will be right and good. And it should, as it should be, where there will be no more weeping or crying, no sorrows in that day that we are looking forward to. We see it from a distance, if as only sometimes through the tears of grief. We still see it and we rejoice in it. And so, brothers and sisters, this morning as we think about this time of joy, let us be people who really can be seen, not just heard, as people of joy. May the phrase Merry Christmas not just be a phrase that we use only one time a year, but let's look for other opportunities that we can express our joy, because it's deep down. It's not just surface level and not just something that happens during a certain time of year. This is a great season of joy, and I think that's one of the things that our culture has kind of retained, and that's good. But let's have it as the right thing. That is that Christ has come into the world to save sinners, of whom we are members of that category of sinners and need redemption, and there is a Savior. So, 2 things I would leave you with this morning as we close. Embrace the joy of Christmas. It's okay to embrace the joy of this season. Embrace the joy of the season, and don't let Satan destroy your joy, your Christian joy at all. That's one of the things that he wants to do. You know, one of the things that he wants to do with Christians is to defeat them and have them walking around as people who are defeated and discouraged and down and not encouraged and joyful and happy. So don't let Satan defeat that in your life. I also want to encourage you that when those family gatherings take place, do your part to make them a place of joy. Do your part to make that a positive, happy experience, remembering what the purpose of this season is supposed to be all about. And then also spread the joy. Make it your goal in some way to spread joy to other people, now and throughout your Christian life. Be a person who's contagious with joy. Encourage others with your words and with your deeds and with your gifts that you give to others. It's a natural thing. As we did on this past Wednesday night during our candlelight devotional, we talked about the fact that the light has come into the world, but the last thing that we can do is just keep that light to ourselves. We must share it with other people. And the same thing goes with the joy that we have at this time of year. Let's share it with others. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for the story that we've read this morning about Mary and her interaction with Elizabeth and John the Baptist. We're thankful for the great song that she sang, guided by your Holy Spirit, and that is teaching us about our attitudes of joy that we are to have as followers of your Son. And I pray, Father, that we will be people who are joyful, mindful of all that you've given us. May we not be ungrateful, Lord, for the things that you've given us and show that ungratefulness by having bad attitudes or negativity, whether it's this time of year or throughout our lives. Father, help us to embrace the truth of the gospel, the good news that was brought to this world and that we have embraced as Christians. So be with us, Lord, and help us this season to focus on that great joy that you've given us. It's in Christ's holy name that I pray. Amen.